Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank you for being with us today. Before we march on, I hope that you have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Lord, regardless of the circumstances, and that you gave thanks to God. I hope that you had some turkey and some dressing and some other foods for your Thanksgiving to enjoy and to give God praise. I hope that you have helped others if you were in a position to help others with food and the things that they need. And I want to encourage you to keep on doing that. Get you some gospel tracts, pass them out as you go, and if God has blessed you with means and with money, don't wait till Christmas to give somebody a ham or turkey or whatever you go ahead. Everybody who God has blessed with means and money will take care of one family that would help a whole lot. Or you can donate to Feeding America and other organizations like that. Donate to your local food bank. You can take food there, but they can get the food if you give them money. What they need is money. And they will fix that. They'll get the food and buy the food and fix the boxes and so forth. If you can volunteer, they may, in fact, not only may they need your help, they do need your help. If you can gear up a hazmat suit or something like that and go help. I would encourage you to gear up, though, because this coronavirus is out to get you. Okay? So don't make no mistake about it. It's out to get you. And it's no joke. Believe the reports of others. You don't have to be a guinea pig. You don't have to be the one who gets it and then want to get on television and tell everybody you don't want this. I'm telling you, I thank God I don't have it. I've never had it. And I thank God for that, for his mercy, love, and grace towards me. I'm telling you not to get it. It's a bad thing. It's going to totally discombobulate your family. So be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. My oldest daughter, who loves the Lord and loves her family, who loves her father, she wanted me to, and my second oldest daughter, God has blessed them with a beautiful house, and they wanted me to come, and but God led me otherwise not to do that, and as some people are saying, let's skip this one so that we can see each other at the Thanksgiving next year, if there is a next year. The Lord tarries is coming and we live. Somebody else said, one doctor said, avoid getting together for this Thanksgiving so that you can avoid a ICU Christmas. He just came out and said it that way. And when a doctor says that, he's not playing. He's not joking. He knows how contagious this thing is. See, this thing is in the air. You really don't even have to hug somebody to get it. It's in the air. It's jumping on people. And many doctors believe that in a few weeks we're going to see another explosion because of how disobedient we are as Americans, and how, because of our pride and so forth, arrogancy, and just the way we're wired as Americans, which I said at the beginning of the plane, that we're just not, the people in America are not going to do that. They're not going to stay locked down like that. And they even push the politicians. It's not just Trump's fault, it's the people's fault. They're the ones who wrote letters to the president to open back up. They were putting heat on him to open back up. And it was not wise for him to do so at the time. But and I remember him saying, I hope to God I'm doing the right thing. Well, I knew then he was doing the wrong thing. Because, see, you can, it's depicted in the Bible, how that plagues do come from God. However, some people can survive the plague if you do certain things, like obey the man of God. Elisha told this family that the plague is coming, the famine is coming. It's going to be for 7 years. And you need to go somewhere to hide from it until it's over. And if you read the scriptures onward, she came back after 7 years and collected her land and everything. See? So you can survive it. Or you can be foolish and go running out there hugging on people and kissing on people and trying to be, you know, try to show yourself as having strong faith. You're courageous and brave. I'm not scared of any virus or anything. Well, there's a lot of people in the hospital. They weren't scared either. And they can't even talk. And they're all, and I've never seen any people more wired up in the hospital like the coronavirus people. And by the way, a young lady, I think she was 14 years old, black lady, a young lady, 14 years old, she died of the coronavirus. And even went under a ventilator, I believe. So this is no joke. You do not want this. Just humble yourself. If you can stay in your house and work and so forth, stay there. Some of you need to downsize so that you can afford to live. You need to understand, people, that either people are dying 2,000 plus a day, or somebody's lying. Thousands of people are being infected a day, or somebody is lying. And there are laws against lying in the media. People are being foreclosed upon by the hundreds and by the thousands, and will even more so by the end of the year. Or somebody's lying about this. This thing is real. And the proof is out there. And wise people believe the proof, and they protect themselves. You want to be around, and you want to stay around to tell the story. Without life, you have nothing. I told my oldest daughter yesterday via text, as I've said before, I don't mind dying. I'm cool with dying, but I do not want to stop by the hospital with this painful thing, this ugly thing. I don't want to do that. I just don't want that. I don't want that. Dying, I'm fine with that. God has blessed me to live until 60 years old. And I thank God, I'm surprised that he let me live that long. But the coronavirus thing, when you can't breathe, and you're in the hospital, helpless, your family can't come, you will never have the knowledge that they're there. You will die and never see them again. I don't want that. I don't want to see, I don't want these people who are all wrapped up in the bed like that. I don't want that right now. I don't want to be that person. And so I decided not to do that yesterday, even though My daughters assure me that they are not contagious, but they're not infected. And I'm not infected, and I thank the Lord for that. I want to stay that way. But what happens is when you got other people going in and out and meeting with other people, you don't know who met with who, and that can jump on you. And so many, many thousands of people did as I did yesterday. And just enjoy Thanksgiving with the people in your house. And which I believe was the wisest choice, even though it is painful, especially for our family, because God has blessed us with a string of 33 years of wonderful Thanksgivings. Thanksgiving became a big thing in our family. We had a lot of fun surrounding regarding Thanksgiving now to the years. So it's a very painful thing for us not to be together on Thanksgiving, but it just couldn't be helped. One of those things is beyond our control. On top of that, I've been preaching and telling people for years, for months now, that they need to avoid doing things like that. And I cannot afford to be like the hypocritical mayor of Denver, Colorado, who told everybody, don't travel anywhere for Thanksgiving, stay home. And he hopped a plane to go to Mississippi to, right after he made that announcement, to see people for Thanksgiving. And he had to go, he had to double back and apologize to the people of Denver for being a hypocrite. And there have been other government officials who have done that. The governor out in California, the governor and her husband in Michigan, and people can't stand that hypocrisy. Well, you tell them to lock down when you don't lock down. And so I've been saying this. I've been saying what Elijah told that woman and her family. You need to go somewhere and hide from this thing. You can come out of this thing successfully. And go ahead on and have more children and raise a family for God and serve God and tell the story. And that's what you want. Because, see, what's happening is all of these people who are dying, they're really dying in the prime of their life. This is an unexpected death. This is not because of this virus, this coronavirus. And it's nasty. I've seen what it does to families. It just, and it can destroy a family. It has destroyed some families. So, and I told you yesterday too, those of you who were in line getting food, I don't want to see you out there bustling and hustling on Black Friday now. Down at Best Buy, fighting over TVs and things like that. But I've told you, you need to downsize so that you can buy your own groceries. And for those of you who had groceries and you had the money to buy your own groceries, but you wanted to go get something free to add to it, you're wicked. You're wicked. You're taking food from people who really need it. But be that as it may, my beloved, we continue on in the Standing Between the Living and the Dead service number 2. Dr. Matthew Simpson said, the Bible is for every day. And for the morning hour of every day. He's saying something deep here. Over here. You need to come up and over right here. If to the parent it is more precious than gold. Pardon me. And sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Will not the child learn to value a volume so honored and so treasured by his or her parents? The answer is yes. Let's pray for all families. Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. We pray, Lord, for the salvation of all families who have not heard the gospel. Lord, help them to hear the gospel. Have your Holy Ghost to help them to understand the gospel and to be saved. Have mercy and grace upon those of us who name the name of Jesus Christ, yet we have not obeyed your great commandment or your great commission. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins and help us to repent of these evil sins and start witnessing to the people by any means necessary. We pray, Holy Father God, that you would heal every marriage that names the name of Christ, every family, and Lord, we pray that you'll help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray that you'll raise up new laborers into your field to reap the widened harvest field for your glory, praise, and honor in spite of us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, please join me if you wish in praying the common prayer, the new common prayer. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have sinned and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done. And there is no peace and joy in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Spare thou us, O God, who confess our sins, our faults, and our failures. Restore those of us who confess our sins and repent according to thy promises declared unto us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life to the glory of thy holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we're turning now to what I call the family verses. Ephesians chapter 5 and chapter 6. For 33 years of marriage and family life in our devotions, along with reading many other passages of scripture, we would always read this because this is the family fixer passage. And because it reminded everybody in the family every day what their role is. And I firmly believe, I truly believe, that if a family wants to pray together, to stay together, they must obey together. They must obey the Word of God, where God chose to give us specific instructions for the husband and the father, the wife and the mother, and the children, that they must do if they want their marriage and family to work. And by God leading me to do this, it is the main reason why our family is still together and intact, without divorce. And it is a miracle of God. And not only have we stayed together, but we have thrived together and have done great work in the kingdom of God by His grace as a family that is reaching people to this day around the globe. Verse 33 is the one verse that we're going to read today, as it addresses the husband and the wife. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. That is the commandment to the husband. Love is not a feeling. Love is a choice. I know that's mind-boggling to some of you people who are caught up in harlequin romances, but that's not real love. Love is a choice. And if you don't understand that, you're not going to, your marriage is not going to last, because that pretty little cute thing that you met down at the beach, she does not look like that all the time. And she does not act like that all the time. And so as a husband, and I'm talking to saved men, I don't know how lost people do it, but as a husband, I'm not talking to you. I can't help you like that, other than to lead you to Christ. You need Jesus to do this. You need God to be this kind of husband and to have this kind of unconditional agape love, where the forgiveness in your heart is almost automatic. However, you understand that love is not just letting people do what they want and have their way. Love is rebuking them as well and dealing with them about the evil they do that's causing a problem in the marriage and in the family. You've got to nip it in the bud, in the words of Dr. McKinney. You've got to nip it in the bud. You've got to deal with it. And that's love too. I know you don't, some of you don't like for me to say it. You think love is letting your wife have her way, do whatever she wants, and cause a big old problem and stink in the family because she refuses to do her job of being a helpmeet, a wife, and a mother. Some of you wives need to look in the mirror and say, like some women say, you know what? I am a wife. I am a mother. And I need to do what God made me to do before I go out here and try to save the world and encourage others. I need to make sure my family is right. My husband is taken care of. My children are taken care of. For this has caused great problems with marriages and families. We got, yes, men who want to shirk their responsibilities, but we have many women today who want to shirk their responsibilities and pass them on to others. Instead of being a wife and mother, they want to be a manager. So as we continue to read, let's see what God says to the wife in this one verse. And the wife, see that, make sure that she reverence her husband. I believe one of the biggest problems in marriages today, and this is just in the flesh of many women, they have no respect for their husband after a while, by and by. And so when they lose that warm and cuddly feeling, when the thrill is gone, the respect goes, and now they're on the hunt for somebody else that they can respect. Again, this is a choice that a wife must make, because that handsome, muscular man you met on the beach one day, and his smile just threw you into a tizzy. He's not going to always look like that, and he's not going to always be like that. And you're living in an Alice in Wonderland situation if you think that's the case. But if you marry him, you owe him your respect. It doesn't matter to him really if you love him or not, but you need to respect him. And when you respect somebody, you reverence somebody, there's certain things you're just not going to do. First of all, you're not going to write something negative for all your followers to know about your husband, that you in a disrespectful fashion, like some women, even in the so-called ministry, love to do. They love to hint at little negative things about their husbands, how they are halfway considering divorce and so forth. It is not only the Jezebel spirit, it is the Vashti spirit. And you're making other women disrespect and dishonor their husbands, Vashti and Jezebel. Okay, this is a huge problem. These so-called Christian women leaders go around saying little negative things about their husband, about their marriage, and how they're halfway considering divorce and seeing, kind of testing the waters and see if people want to still follow them once they do that. Saying little nasty snide remarks in their little blogs and their little tweets. And just totally disrespecting their husband. God is not going to bless that, because God does not like ugly. You can at least, the husband can at least love the wife. The wife can at least respect her husband. And she should love him too. But the main thing a man needs is respect, reverence. And he wants you to do, as I've gone out this past week, he wants you to do what he tells you to do. He wants you to do what he's already told you to do. He wants you to do what you know you ought to be doing before God Almighty. See, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. If you want to express love to your husband, obey him, reverence him, submit to him. Stop with every time he tells you something, you got something to say. Some little blowing, some little smirk, some little disrespectful tone and attitude. You can do it if you want to, but in my opinion, you really don't need to be there, because you're not doing what God told you to do. Make up your mind what you want to do. If you want to be single and do what you want to do and say what you want to say, then go do that. But if you're going to live in my house, you need to respect what I tell you, and you need to do what I tell you. Because I believe the biggest problem in all marriages is very simple. Disobedience to God, disobedience to the authority over you, and families as well. So it's not a matter of personality conflict. It's not a matter of we don't see eye to eye on things. No, you need to obey. You need to obey God. Everybody needs to obey God, and everybody needs to obey the authority that God has placed over you. If you don't do that, you're going to have chaos in any situation, in the family, in the church, in the world, in government, and so forth and so on. So if you want your marriage and family healed, and you want it to go well, and you want it to be functional, and you want to get things done individually in the family and collectively, as we have done in our family down through the years, I've always encouraged everybody to move forward, get your education, get things done, write books, and that's the gift that God gave us, and move forward. As a family, individually and collectively, you're going to be there for just a short while together, accomplish great things for the glory of God together, accomplish great things individually. Move forward. Life is not worth living if you're not serving God and doing things that will help others. So, and the wife, see that she reverenced her husband. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's pray together. Based upon 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Shall we pray for others? And what a privilege it is to pray for others. Join us. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, based upon your holy word, ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. We pray for all of the people who name the name of Christ in this world. Lord, help us all to humble ourselves and to pray and to seek your face and to turn from our wicked ways and to repent and get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, we pray for the president and all people who are in the ministry of government, not only in this country, but around the globe. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we pray for salvation and spiritual, family and life, financial and material, protection and provision blessings upon them all. And we pray that you would lead them and guide them and direct them in the path and in the way that you want them to go, that we may lead and have peaceful and quiet lives. And Holy Father God, we pray for the salvation of the lost souls in this city, in this country, and around the globe and in the media. We pray, Lord, that you would revive your people in this city, in this country, around the globe, and in the media as well. We pray for all of your persecuted Christians in the world. Comfort them as only you can. Deliver them from their predicaments. Give them grace in their trying hours and even in their dying hours. And we pray for ourselves in the same way. And Lord, we pray now for the healing of those who are sick. We pray that you will keep people from getting sick. If they are members of your church, help them to call for the elders of the church for prayer, but help them to confess their sins honestly and to be transparent so that they can be healed and raised up. And Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who are hurting today because of the death of loved ones, or that they have loved ones in the hospital because of the coronavirus plague. We pray that you will, Lord Jesus Christ, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. Draw them to your Holy Scriptures for salvation and comfort. For Lord, we have no words. In Jesus Christ's name, we continue to pray for the family and friends of Michigan kindergartner Skylar Herbert. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of New Jersey guidance officer Daryl Johnson. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey transit employee Raymond Kinney. We pray for the family and friends of New York teacher Chris Mondal. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey lawyer Rita Coslow Natler. We pray for the family and friends of New York EMT John Redd. We pray for the family and friends of New York mother Linda Rennie. We pray for the family and friends of New Jersey engineer Quentin Weist. We pray, Lord, for the family and friends of New York healthcare worker Madhivi Aya. We pray for the family and friends of Louisiana police officer Kajuan Bates. And we commit all of these souls into your hands. Let your will be done in all of their lives and in ours as well. And now, Holy Father God, we pray for all of the prayer requests that have come in. We pray for all of the people who have sent in the prayer requests. And we pray that you would deliver them and protect them from the coronavirus plague. We pray for salvation and spiritual family and life. Financial and material protection and provision, blessings upon each and every one of them and their families. And Lord, we know that you know who they are. And it's so wonderful to pray to you. And Lord, you know where thousands of people are and what they need. And you can fix their situation, their problem. We pray now for Phil. Please restore Lorraine's hearing and memory. Heal her of the pain in her body, bad blood pressure and bad posture. Give her excellent health and long life. Remove all debt from her and have her house, car, and appliances to last long and become newer each day. Give excellent health and long life to his uncle. We pray for Minaj. Please heal him from ulcerative lesions in his mouth. Bless him with the right medication and proper treatment. We pray for Hua Inyang, for your will to be done regarding his Nigerian Navy application. Strengthen his prayer life. We pray for Vicky. Please heal Cecilia's dog, comfort Cecilia, and give her strength. And we pray that you protect all of these people from the coronavirus plague. We pray for Ashley. Please help her to work with people easily. For her family not to be dysfunctional, please give her a best friend and help her to focus on school. We pray for Harjinder. Please deliver him from depression and phobias. Heal him of all diseases and give him a better job. We pray for Eric. Please calm every storm that rises up against them. Take out the worldly spirit from your children. Open the eyes of their hearts, souls, and spirits and minds to see you. Please bless their upcoming crusades and lead everyone to repentance. Now, Holy Father God, we pray for all of the people who have gotten saved through this ministry and through the preaching of the gospel, and those who have come back to you and rededicated their life as well. And we pray the same prayer for the other people who have sent in prayer requests. Protect them from the coronavirus plague. We pray for salvation, household salvation, household spiritual blessings, family life, protection and provision, financial and material blessings during this time of great trouble and famine and sickness. We pray, Holy Father God, that you'll help these to grow in the faith and to stand strong in the faith. We pray for Tammy. We pray for Elvis. We pray for Lucia. We pray for Jay. We pray for Dal. We pray for Christy. And we pray for Marlene. We also pray for those who have recommitted their lives to you. We pray, Lord, for Aletta, Jonah, JB, Anthony, Fred, Christine, and Megan, and many, many others as well. We include everybody who has gotten saved and who has come back to you. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. We commit all of these souls into your hands. that your will be done in their lives and in ours. In Jesus Christ's name we pray for it, sir. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, our devotional reading is titled The Secret Working of God by Dr. A.W. Tozer. The Secret Working of God by Dr. A.W. Tozer. He said, I do believe in the secret and mysterious working of God in the human heart. I must believe it after finding the forgiving and converting grace of God in the Savior Jesus Christ, myself. My father and mother held high human standards, but completely without any thought of God. My parents appeared to be without any spark of desire after God, attitudes that were cold, earthy, profane. Can you tell me why then at the age of 17, as a boy surrounded by unbelief, I could find my way to my mother's attic, kneel on my knees, give my heart and life in committal to Jesus Christ? I cannot tell you why. I can only say that I know there is such a thing as the secret workings of God within the human being who has a sensitivity to hear the call of God. In my own case, I do have the testimony that my conversion to Jesus Christ was as real as any man's conversion has ever been. My fellow man, if the Spirit of God is still tugging at your heart, thank God and follow delight. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, to be quite frank with you, that is one of the most powerful devotionals you will ever hear or read, because all truly born-again Christians have this testimony about the mysterious workings of God and how. And see, I preach the gospel every day by faith, multiple times a day by faith. And I'm totally dependent upon what he just got through talking about, the mysterious workings of God in the human heart. It's an amazing thing. Every born-again Christian has a similar testimony. How is it that this man raised around godless people, profane people, who never, and I've been around people like this, they, and you know some people like this, they have no interest in God whatsoever. They scoff at God, the idea of God. They don't take it seriously. You can show them all kinds of scriptures and everything. They have no fear of God before their eyes. And so how could a man like this not only get saved and then go lead others in Christ to get saved, and not only that, then to teach others and help them to become disciples? I believe one of the most important things that everybody who is truly born again should do is give a complete written testimony of how they got saved, because they will see the element of the mysterious workings of God. There's no human reason why I should be up here preaching after 40 years of preaching the gospel. No human reason why, other than the mysterious workings of God. Is God working in your heart? As Dr. A.W. Tozer brought out, right now, dear sinner friend, do you feel a tug in your heart? Do you feel a strong interest in wanting to know Christ as Savior and go to heaven instead of going to hell. I don't know what's happening in your heart. I agree with A.W. Tozer. As an evangelist, this is very important to me. And I guess I would imagine that God does it this way because he does not want anybody to take the credit for anybody's salvation, their own or anybody else's. That he will have that element in each and every one of us who have truly been born again, where we really can't put our finger on it. We heard the gospel and we just somehow we responded right to the gospel and we were saved at that instant. And how is it going with you in your heart right now? Is God pulling you in? Yeah. Are you like I was? I was headed to the club and I just saw a young man talking on the phone back in those days. We had pay phones. He was talking on the phone, had a big old Bible in his hand. And I interrupted his phone call. No, I was on the phone. I'm sorry. I was on the phone. And I saw this man walking by me in a hurry with a big old Bible in his hand. His name was Michael Lewis. I never met him before, never seen him before. I think it was one Friday night or Saturday night, I was talking with one of my girlfriends on the phone, and I saw this young man with the Bible, and I interrupted my own phone call, and I just asked him, where are you going with that Bible, man? Oh, I'm going to visit somebody. He was a soul winner. He was going to visit somebody. He said, I can't talk with you now, but listen, here's my room number. We lived in the Air Force dorm room. He said, let me know, or he gave me his phone number or something, and he said, let me know if you want to go to church on Sunday. I'll pick you up. That was the beginning of it. God is working in his mysterious ways. All I can do is preach the gospel to you. I have a question for you. If you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? That's what Michael Lewis asked me a few nights later. And I had to tell him I would go to hell. And then he proceeded to show me in the Bible what was called back then the Roman road, which I'm going to share with you now. If you said hell or you're not sure, you need to listen. First, you need to understand and accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. The Holy Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I had never seen anything like that before. This may be your first time. We have all sinned, haven't we? We've all told lies. We've all stolen things, small things from our parents or from the job. We have all coveted or lusted in our heart after people and things. We have all at times disobeyed and dishonored our parents. We have all at times taken God's name in vain. These are all sins. In fact, it is 5 of the 10 commandments that I just mentioned that quickly. And we're all guilty before God, for the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. The Holy Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin. our sinful nature, which causes us to make sinful choices. We sin by nature and by choice. And the body goes to the grave in death. The soul will go to eternal death in that awful place of torment and torture called hell, if we don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. So, thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now as I speak. You don't have to commit any more sins. You've already committed enough. For one sin will get you in hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 18:8, wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Hell is a very real place, dear friend. You know how I know? Because Jesus Christ said so. Hell is a very real place. And hell is bad news. You should not want to go to hell, no. There won't be any bars in hell, and you won't be able to see your buddies in hell, and you will not party in hell. There are no parties in hell. So hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. And I pray and hope that God is working mysteriously in your heart as your evangelist today. I have always preached with that in mind. All I can do is present the gospel to you. All I can do is obey God and preach the gospel to you. I depend on God working a mysterious miracle in your heart to get you to believe the gospel and be saved. The same Jesus Christ who preached on hell more than anybody else said the most loving, most beautiful, most wonderful words ever spoken to mankind on earth. In John 3:16, for Jesus Christ said these remarkable words, for God so loved the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, he was speaking of himself, that whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, believeth in him, believeth means to have faith in, to have trust in, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that means you will not go to hell, but have everlasting life, that means you will go to heaven to be with God. It is very simple. I just humbly tell you to believe the words of Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Follow his instructions. It's very simple. It's not hard. Why would God make it so hard, make it hard for ignorant, disobedient people as we are? We would make it worse. And some have tried to make it worse. Just follow the simple instructions of Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me all I have to do is believe in Jesus Christ and I'll be saved? Yes. Because he suffered, bled, and died on the cross as the sacrificial Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. He paid your sin debt. So it wasn't easy for him, but he made it easy for you and me. All you need to do is believe in him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven to be with God. So, dear friend, are you willing right now to believe in your heart in Jesus Christ? That Jesus Christ paid your sin debt by dying on the cross. He was buried and rose on the third day by the power of God. Are you willing to call on his name in prayer and to let him know that you are claiming him as your Savior and that you're asking him to save your soul? Let's do that right now. If you believe it in your heart in Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Pray with me right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, as you told me in your word. I admit that I have sinned against you many times, and I am sorry for my sins. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in you, Lord Jesus, I believe with all of my heart that you suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose on the third day. Thank you, Lord, for dying on the cross for my sins to pay my sin debt. Lord Jesus Christ, I receive you into my heart. The free gift of salvation. Please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul today. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and help me to follow you, Lord Jesus Christ, in the new life. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ by the powerful, mysterious, merciful working of God in your heart today, please email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you to help you to grow in the faith and to be the Christian disciple that God wants you to be. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Dear friend, God loves you. Jesus Christ said it as well. God is love. And And we love you by the grace of God. And may God bless you real good. Here's my prayer.